Genesis chapter 9. Our scripture takes us back to the days of Noah. Starting in verse 12, God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." God here makes the promise, never again, to destroy the earth with water. And he sealed that promise with a rainbow. And God told Noah that the rainbow would be in the cloud, in life. For every cloud, there is a rainbow. To the Greeks, the rainbow was the path Isis traveled from earth to heaven. To the Persians, they connected the rainbow with a divine messenger. The Hindus have described the rainbow as a weapon in the hand of Indras, in which he would throw flashing darts. The Chinese believe the rainbow was a sign of forbearing trouble and misfortune. But the Bible sees a rainbow far different than what man does. You know, after the storms have passed, we all seem to gaze up at the sky when the sun comes out to see if we could see that rainbow. Sometimes we're fortunate and we see two. On very rare occasions, more than two. In Revelation 4 and verse 3, John saw a rainbow around the throne. In Revelation 10 and verse 1, he wrote, "I saw still another angel coming down from heaven, clothed in a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head." The rainbow, a symbol of God's mercy. Ephesians 2 and verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us." And in the 103rd Psalm in verse 17, it tells us that his mercy is everlasting to everlasting. The rainbow is also the symbol of hope. You know, there are plenty of folks today who are asking, is there any hope? But the answer is straightforward, yes, there is hope. 1 Timothy 1:1 tells us that Jesus is our hope. Romans 8 and verse 24 tells us that we are saved by hope. The rainbow is a symbol of the unchanging nature of God's will. When you read 1 Peter 1 and verse 25, it tells us that the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached to you. Now that rainbow that God said in the heavens there before Noah was a promise to him that the earth would never, ever again be destroyed by water. But it is also significant that the rainbow also symbolizes God's judgment upon the earth. For you see, it was Noah who saw the rainbow after God destroyed the earth and all the inhabitants, the exception of eight and some animals. And every time that we see a rainbow, we remember that God will destroy the world, not by water, but as 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 tells us, by fire. Genesis 9 and verse 16, it says, "The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on to it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." Clouds come into our lives. sure many of us have taken trips where we've driven through the mountains and over the mountains, and we've entered an area and fog is getting high, the clouds. And there are times when you get up there and the sun breaks out and gets warm and the clouds evaporate and you see the beauty. Well, life is like that. We travel day in and day out on this earth. And there are many times where we are in the clouds. Our clouds come on a regular basis. 1 minute everything is clear, and the next it is obscured. Think of how those clouds come into our lives. There was a man who sent a check to the IRS. His conscience was bothering him and he felt guilty. You see, he had been cheating on his taxes. So he included a brief note confessing his wrong. And then on that note, he had an addendum which said, "If I can't sleep at night, I'll send you the rest." You see, the man was ravaged by guilt. Clouds of guilt sometimes surround us. It was guilt, that first Pentecostal sermon that Peter preached in Acts 2 and verse 37, that caused the multitude to say, "What shall we do?" Now, there's also a cloud of sorrow. In Job 14 and verse 1, Job said, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." When we look around the world, you only have to turn the TV on at night to watch the news. And you see a world that is full of hurt and trouble. There's hunger and disease and war. There's domestic troubles. There's misrepresentation. There's criticism. There's all kinds of things that cause sorrow. But we also live under a cloud of bereavement. It hangs over the head of all humanity. Everyone here has shed tears, many tears, over lost loved ones, wayward children. It can go on in 2 Samuel 18 and verse 33, David wept when his son Absalom died. In Acts 9 and verse 39, the women wept over the death of Dorcas. In Acts 8 and verse 2, the church mourned the death of Stephen. In John chapter 11 and verse 33, when Lazarus died, it says that Jesus groaned in his spirit. And in verse 35, it said that he wept. These clouds of bereavement hangs over our heads a lot. And it's very hard to punch through those clouds. There's also the cloud of cross-bearing. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verses 24 through 28, we can read here that Paul lived under that cloud. He suffered so much for the cause of Christ, just as Jesus said he would. Matter of fact, he suffered so much that times I feel ashamed that I have suffered so little for his cause. Paul knew and understood fully what Jesus meant when Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16, verse 24, that they must take up their cross and follow him. Brethren, we also live under the cloud of conflict. Conflict often comes our way. We are living in these times, in present times right now, as a nation in conflict. Paul was telling the Philippians in Philippians 1 and verses 29 through 30, that we are not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake and have the same conflict which they saw in him. Our conflicts today come in many forms. Misunderstandings, opposition, and even ridicule. We are walking through the cloud of earthly sojourn. We live in this temporary vessel called a body. And because of this, just as 2 Corinthians 5:4 says, we groan. There are many things that take place on a daily basis that depress us and discourage us. But thanks be to God that there is hope in the midst of these clouds. There are blessings that come from all these clouds. Oftentimes, when we're going through the trials and tribulations of life, we cannot seem to grasp and understand how we can even consider these things blessings. But you know, outside of the rainbow or the cloud of guilt, there's the rainbow of pardon. Our God is a God who is willing to pardon abundantly. Isaiah 55 and verses 6 and 7 clarifies that very well. When David sinned, when he committed adultery, and then he sinned again by committing murder, when he was confronted by Nathan, 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13, David exclaimed, "I have sinned." And Nathan then told him the Lord had put away his sin. One of the hardest things, I think, for us as human beings is to put guilt behind us. It seems to cling to us, regardless of a pardon. If we're living under that cloud of guilt, we need to know that God wants to forgive us. In Psalms 103 and verse 12, it tells us that when God forgives, He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. And when we are willing to surrender to His terms of pardon, faith in Christ Jesus, in John 8 and verse 24, repentance, in Luke 13 and verse 3, confession of faith in Christ. In Romans 10 and verses 9 through 10, an immersion into Christ by baptism. Colossians 2 and verse 12, Romans 6 verses 3 and 4, Acts 2 and verse 38, that our sins will be washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Acts 22 and verse 16, and Revelation 1 and verse 5. From the cloud of sorrow comes the rainbow of support. Peter should know, and so he shares with us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, that we should cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for you. We travel in this life trying to carry the burdens of life on our own shoulders. We have friends and family who are willing to share the burden, but sometimes we just can't seem to get in our mind to shed that burden, to let someone else help carry the load. But we have brethren, we have family who are more than willing to help, share, and carry the burden. It's there. That's the rainbow. But it just gets better. For out of the cloud of bereavement comes the rainbow of reunion. There are those who doubt that we will know each other when that time comes. I don't think that we will. I know we will. In Luke 16, Abraham was still Abraham. Lazarus was still Lazarus. The rich man was still the rich man. The only thing that changes when we pass from this life to the next is our body. We take on a new form. But we do not take on a new identity. Matthew 17, Moses and Elijah appeared at Jesus' transfiguration. These men have been dead for hundreds of years, and yet Peter, James, and John knew exactly who they were. As far as my memory goes, they didn't have cameras then to take pictures of these men. They didn't have a wall in the synagogue like we have coming down the hallway that has folks' pictures. Or if you go into a military installation and you go into the headquarters building, you've got pictures of the president and all these other people down the halls. None of that was there. And yet these three men knew exactly who Jesus was speaking to. But listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 13 through 18. You see, the brethren in Thessalonica were very concerned. They were upset that some of their loved ones who had become Christians had died before Christ came back. And they thought that they missed out. And there were others who had taken their ease waiting for that time. But he writes, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as the others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And then he writes, therefore comfort one another with these words. Additionally, the cloud of cross-bearing will come the rainbow of crown-bearing. There is a crown of righteousness laid up for the faithful Christians, according to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10 that there is a crown reserved for those who remain faithful unto death. And finally, out of the cloud of earthly journeys comes the rainbow of our heavenly home. It was said of Abraham in Hebrews 11 and verse 10 that he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It's hard to believe that a man would live his entire life in a tent. Because he wasn't content with man-made structures, and he certainly had the wealth to build his own city. Well, that didn't concern him. He was looking far into the future. His sight was much further than many are today, looking ahead to that home in heaven. Many today only look that far when they are near death. Then they start thinking about what comes next. Not so with Abraham. He was looking for a place that is prepared for God's children, a place where there are no tears and where there is no sorrow. We can believe it with all our heart. There is a rainbow in the cloud. Paul said it best in Romans 8 and verse 18. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Our songbook does not have the song, "There's a Rainbow in the Clouds." But it's a song that I always enjoyed hearing and singing. There's a rainbow that is shining. There's a rainbow in the clouds. God is shining on us. And we can have that hope. That when the clouds pass, God's promise will hold true in that rainbow. If you are not a child of God, if you have not been baptized for the remission of sins, if you have not made the decision at this point to change your life and to sacrifice the old self and put on new self, we want to give you that opportunity tonight to obey the gospel. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you have this cloud that's been hanging over you. Whether it's a cloud of guilt or a cloud of sorrow or a cloud of bereavement. But you can't seem to shake the cloud. There is hope. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or if you need to repent of something that you have done in a public way, that has brought discredit to the Lord's church, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. If anyone has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.